to NA. My sponsor got me here and showed me what NA was all about, and you know, he kind of tricked me into service. This was one of these things where I had planned on choosing my own clean date, and I did a lot of crazy things when I first started coming in here to try and stop using. And when trying to make my own clean date didn't work, he said, you might want to try another way. And we're going to have you go to a meeting, do 90 and 90. And this is where you're going to go on Friday night, and you're going to meet me there. This is where you're going to go on Saturday night, and you're going to meet me there. This is where you're going to go on Sunday night, and you're going to meet me there. And then he told me to go to a meeting on Monday night. But something was different about this particular meeting. I noticed that it was a lot of old-timers, a lot of people that seemed to be really engaged in service. And I quickly learned that it wasn't a regular meeting. It was area service. He said, you remember Chrissy here from your home group, right? And I said, yes. Yeah. She said, she needs help filling literature orders. Stick right here. I need to go behind these doors where all these other people are. Our area had a literature table in the kitchen of the church where we had area service. And behind these double doors was where they had the meetings. And I said, well, what's going on back there? You know, I mean, I heard a lot of screaming and shouting and stuff. And it sounded like that's where all the action was. But she said, no, no, no. Stay here. Stay here. This is where it's safe. And you know what? I did stay there. I stayed there for the next 2 or 3 years. And he's always told me to stay in service. One of the meetings that was real important to me was a Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, just for today meeting. You know, this meeting was small. And we were always contemplating whether we should keep this meeting open or not. Because it seemed like every weekend it would be the same few members who would come and do all of the service. And it felt like, okay, it's time to close the meeting. You know, we're not following the seventh tradition. We're not fully self-supporting. It's just us. But every time we would make this decision to close the meeting, a newcomer would come in the door and would say, I just got this meeting off of your meeting list, and this is my first time here. And for some reason, it happened every single time we started making this decision. Okay, do we keep it open? Do we close it? Do we keep it open? Do we close it? And eventually, we finally had to make that decision to close it. And that was hard for me. That meeting meant so much to me because it kept me clean. And, you know, when people talk about service will save your life for this addict, that was the case. Because the last time that I picked up, well, it turned into Sunday afternoon somewhere, and I knew that I had this service position. And it was at this point that I was thinking, you know, know if I want to continue going to Narcotics Anonymous or not. But I know if I don't, I'm a dead man. And I kept weighing the pros and cons of going to the meeting, showing up for my service position or not showing up for my service position. It's high as a kite. And I thought, you know what? If I don't show up for my service position, the few people that are there are going to know what I'm doing. But if I do show up, coming in looking like Keith Richards, or Keith R, as I'm going to keep this thing anonymous. Yeah, Keith. They're going to know I'm using too. And so I made the decision to go to that meeting. And that was where my sponsor was and some other people that were real important in my life. And they said, you might want to try something different because what you're doing ain't working. So to close that meeting was real tough for me to let go. But sometimes if the group can't survive on its own, then it's time to let go. So I continued to serve doing literature. And, well, then I met a girl. In the rooms. She was moving to the Virgin Islands and said, you should come along too. And I said, maybe. She had more clean time than I did. She was funny, so I thought, I think this is kind of safe. So I went out there just to test it out. But I ain't commit to anything. I don't make any decisions these days, any major life decisions these days, without talking to my sponsor or people in my network. And I like warm weather, and I like the beach, but I also like NA too. And for this addict, if NA wasn't strong there, that's a deal breaker. But everyone said, you know what? You're not a newcomer with that can't keep a day clean. You've got a couple years now. You know how this thing works. Go carry the message. Maybe they need help. And so I went there, and there was a group that met a couple times a week, a very small meeting. And I walked in, and they said, hey, welcome to NA. And they stuck their hand out. And I said, I'm sorry, I think I must be in the wrong meeting here. Well, the guy didn't want to hug me any more than I wanted to shake his hand. You know, I don't know what you do to stay clean. And hey, we hug each other, right? So we kind of came in the middle and did this little fist bump kind of thing. And that was the compromise. But by then, I had moved down and I had made the commitment. And I was no longer in an area that had picnics and dances and literature committees and a choice of 60 meetings I could go to in any given night. If I didn't like this person that was at a meeting, or I didn't like the message that they were carrying, I could go to another one. But now I was in an element completely. Well, I came down there with with this attitude that this is going to be a snap, man. Got to carry the message, and everyone's going to come along, and it's going to be like one of these Dr. Pepper commercials, you know, where everyone's dancing down the street with a basic text in hand going, I'm an addict, you're an addict, wouldn't you like to be an addict too? And they said, we're fine where we're at. See, there were some things that I wasn't used to down there. And, there was a meeting that they took to the treatment center. It's the only treatment center in the Virgin Islands. So if you live in St. Thomas or St. John, you take the ferry or the seaplane over, and that's it. Well, this meeting was a little bit different, and they were reading like the 12 promises, and I'm like, we can't do that. This is not NA. We only have one promise here, you know. So I saw real quickly that. You know, maybe they weren't following the traditions that I'm used to in an area as strong as the CMP region. And so, of course, I came out there saying, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. And they said, fuck you, we've been doing this for plenty of years, and it's worked for us. So I like to feel connected in NA. I like to feel part of an area. There wasn't an area there. How do you make an area when you're in a small patch of land surrounded by miles and miles of ocean that's miles and miles deep? And so the first thought I thought was, we're going to get together this area. It's going to be the area of the Virgin Islands. And it's just going to be like back home, right? And the other group said no. Not interested. And I was told by my sponsor, if you don't like how a meeting's being run, work to change it. If that doesn't work, start your own one. I've never started a meeting. But I did. I took my resentment. I took my coffee pot. And I wanted to feel connected. I have no problem flying 2,000 miles or however long it is. It's a long flight, man. It kind of sucks. But I'll go anywhere for an NA meeting. And the feeling that I get when I walk into an NA meeting, anywhere in the country or the world, I feel like I'm at home. I've been to meetings in California. I've been in meetings in New Hampshire. I've been in meetings in New York, wherever, Ohio, and I feel like I'm at home. And I'm at home because the groups are following the traditions. You know, and they say the 12 traditions are non-negotiable. And I believe that, because I don't think that a circumstance dictates that you should violate the traditions. The more I learn about them, the more I see how connected they are, just like the steps are, and the more dependent they are. You know, I don't think any one of our traditions negates the other. So I'm left with this group that says they don't want to be part of an area. But I do. Our meeting that we started is going to celebrate its 2-year anniversary next month. And I know it works. And it was suggested to me that maybe you might want to look to Puerto Rico for some support. You know, I'd never been in this type of situation before, because I'm used to coming to meetings that are already organized, they're already flourishing, and there's a lot of people there. But hey, look, we got a lot of addicts down there, in a place where you can buy rum at a hardware store and a gas station, or from some 10-year-old kids selling it out of the back of their parents' car in the parking lot of a shopping center. There's a lot of addicts out there that need help. And for me, I know NA works. And so I'd heard that there was a convention going on in Puerto Rico. And so I had very limited information as to who to contact. I don't even speak Spanish. And so I called up some of the numbers that I saw in off the website, off the NA website, and they didn't have their own website, right? So I called one number, and it was just a voicemail that was in Spanish. I called another person. The number didn't go anywhere. And then I called another one where the guy had his voicemail in English, so I left a voicemail, and you know, someone called back, and it felt like I was trying to cop dope, you know, from and like there was no suppliers out there at all. But I was determined that I'm gonna make this connection, right? And someone called back and said, "We didn't even know you guys existed, but come on to the convention." And so we made the connection with Puerto Rico. And they said, "We want to help you guys." And so we made connections with addicts in St. Thomas who were facing the same problems as well. Meetings are small, but I can definitely relate to what I was reading in the Miracles Happen book. And when I go to an NA history workshop and I hear about the old timers sharing about what it was like early on and the struggles that they had, and I know that freedom took a lot of fighting for. So the Puerto Rico region has offered to help us out. And they said, "Hey, we remember what it was like too. 22 years ago, or I think it was 22 years ago, we had nothing. We had people from New York that were coming down to help us out. And now We got 60 meetings all over the island. The same thing happened over in the Dominican Republic. They had their fifth convention over there. And so I went to that convention too. Most of the workshops were in Spanish, but you know what? When you hear that wordless language of empathy, you know that you're in the right place. And that's kind of what I feel is possible over in the Virgin Islands. But I think that a clear message needs to be said here. I get a lot of people, because over there, AA is very big. It's very big. It's very well attended. It's very organized. There's a lot of meetings. There's 3 meetings a day, and there are a lot of people, a lot of addicts that go there, you know, and that's their decision. I guess for me, I'm home in NA. I felt like this program works, and I can supplement it these days by coming home to conventions, going wherever I need to go. They now have phone line meetings where you can call in, and it's this group conference kind of thing. And that helps me stay connected, but there's no substitute, I believe, for a one-on-one meeting. And so the hardest thing that we're having is just getting newcomers to stay, you know, but we'll get some people that say, so what if I say that I'm clean and sober? It's all the same thing, right? And that's not our message. You know, the sixth tradition says that our message is our identity. And what's our message? That an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. I think that part about any addict is real important there. And we're not just an extension of AA. We are our own fellowship. We have our own literature, and we can stand on our own 2 feet. So I believe that the traditions will help our fellowship grow in St. Croix. And sometimes we do things down there to try and keep things fresh, because I'll tell you one thing, man. You know a stale-ass meeting when you go to one. And if I'm there telling my story over and over and over again, they're going to get sick of my shit real quick, right? So we've tried to spice it up a little bit by reading the stories from the basic text. Thank God we got the new basic text out now. It's got a whole bunch of stories that we have to choose from. That is good stuff, man. And I get choked up every time I read one. So we'll also we'll also play speaker tapes from conventions, because so many addicts are there that they have no idea what a convention is. Even if they did, they wouldn't have the money to fly out to one yet. But the message is there. And so those are the types of things that we do. Giving key tags, celebrating anniversaries. But we let it be known that this is a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And like I say, we've got a lot of help from the Puerto Rico region. In fact, earlier this week, they sent down two delegates from the H&I committee to do an H&I learning day at that one treatment center that's down there. And a lot of people attended, which was really cool. I mean, that really just... it's going to bring tears to my eyes if I keep thinking about it. But I think that's the vision that I have, is that one day there will be conventions down there. One day there will be a fellowship that stands on its own two feet. Sometimes we bring people down from the States here. You need a vacation, right? You want to come down to, you know, hang out on the beach and, you know, go snorkeling? Come on down. And, by the way, would you be willing to do a little service here? So, this thing works. You know, I know you guys helped me when I had no idea what to do. I think the power of carrying the message to the newcomer can never be understated. I hope I don't ever lose that desire to want to help someone who is just brand spanking new into finding a new way to live, because that's what you guys did for me. My first time that I was here in this convention, you know, I lied to my sponsor about how much clean time I had on the way up here. He thought I had like 32 days because I picked up a 30-day key tag. And I told him, I said, I only got 5 days, man. And I don't know why I lied. Well, I do know why I lied. I felt that, back then, I felt that if I was to be accepted, I had to have some clean time, right? I felt like nobody wanted to talk to me because I was just some dirty newcomer. Couldn't stay clean. And they said, that's okay, man. Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. And when they did the clean time countdown, on that Saturday night speaker thing, they said anybody with 7 days or less clean, you come down to the front of the stage and pick up a basic text. And everyone was pushing me. I was sitting there with my sponsor. I was sitting there with everyone in my network. And they said, go, Mark, go. Go down that to that front of the stage and pick up the basic text. And you know, I felt like a complete failure. I felt like a complete liar. I felt like a fraud. And I know why anybody would want to clap for me or cheer me on when I was going out there, but you people did. And I'm going down that aisle, and people are high-fiving me and patting me on the back, you know, going, go, Mark, go. And I'll never forget that. You know, this is a place that has given me a freedom that I never ever expected in my life. Dreams beyond my wildest imagination. And I always hear people telling me that, keep coming back, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I believe that because I've seen it in action. And if we can carry that message, then we're doing okay. You know, and that learning day out in the Virgin Islands was just one small step, I believe. Half of it was funded by the Puerto Rico region. The other half was funded by the Latin America Zonal Forum, which we fall under because of geographic, you know, situations. And I know the Chesapeake and Potomac region has donated money to the Latin America Zonal Forum. So, you know, when you give that money to in the basket, you know, it's getting put to good use. You know, because we need help, you know. And that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
I want to thank Mark. Again, I'm Danny. I'm a grateful covenant. Mark, I want to apologize to you because I forgot to mention the topic. Y'all probably already know the topic, but the topic is the 6th and 7th tradition. You know? So I want to introduce my next speaker. My next speaker is Brian M. from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
He's sharing on the same topic.
Sounds like a prison tier out there. I'm Brian. I'm an addict. Tradition 13. Everyone should be addicted to coffee when they come to NA, right? Not Slurpees, not milkshakes, coffee. Yeah, man. So, I think what you're going to hear today from me is one addict's opinion about traditions, because we all have a different interpretation of traditions. It's just like the law. Right, you interpret the law one way, I interpret the law the other way. Why is that? Because I need to interpret things to support my argument. So if I'm going to argue with you, I need to be able to tell you that you're breaking some tradition that I can support with words and arguments. And I do that well. I identify with you. And thank you, Mark from the Virgin Islands. I think that's where we send our retired prostitutes, to the Virgin Islands, so that it can get recharged. So tradition 6 kind of is really two traditions, right? First part of it is every NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, right? One. That doesn't mean that I should come into an NA meeting and not say that I went to the Greater Laurel Beltsville Hospital for treatment. Because just by saying that doesn't mean that I'm affiliating NA with the Greater Laurel Beltsville Hospital. The Greater Laurel Beltsville Hospital is not a part of NA. It never will be and it never has been. So just because I say that doesn't mean that I've violated some tradition, in my opinion, right? You might have a different opinion. You might grab me in the hallway and tell me that I should be ashamed of myself for saying stuff like that. So the second part is, less problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. I'm here to tell you that as a result of Narcotics Anonymous, I live in a castle. I have a beautiful new car. I have a terrific job. I got my hair done at Charlton Memorial Hospital. I don't know if you can see, but I probably need a ponytail at some point here. So if anyone's got a comb I can borrow, I'd appreciate that. So that's just me, right? That's my stuff, right? It has nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous, their primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. That isn't my primary purpose. My primary purpose is to stay clean, because I'm the most important person at every meeting I go to. And you should be the most important person at every meeting you go to. Yeah, the newcomer is the most important person, but I'm not really there for the newcomer. I can't stay clean unless I go to these meetings. Neither can the newcomer. So I'll help them out, you know, do service. I did what you did, man. You know, I left the Central Maryland area where I fell in love with a lot of people who just guided me and helped me through recovery. I was in a Bob's Big Boy every night for 2 years before I went back up to Massachusetts, where I was born. And I went back up there kicking and screaming. But I got there. They were just doing everything wrong up there. You got an hour and a half meeting for crying out loud. You know, it's bad enough I got to get out of my house for an hour. Now you need me for an hour and a half because people got to smoke at break. They got to have a break. So what I did was I got a suit. I put a suit on, and I had a briefcase, and I went to area meeting with my suit and briefcase, and I introduced myself as the new president of Narcotics Anonymous. And let me tell you how that went over, man. They did the same thing to me that they did to you. We've been doing this a while. We don't really need you. You know. However, when I got there, the area that I was a part of was, probably a year old, if that. So I had 2 years clean when I got there. So that was major, major clean time. Two whole years. Right. And I had come from an area here in Central Maryland where people, you know, had 10, 15 years. When I got clean, that was in 87. As a matter of fact, tomorrow's my anniversary. So, and I brought the ICU unit with me right here. So if you want to hear funny accents, talk to these knuckleheads over here. None of them speak English. So anyway, the second part of that tradition talks about money, property, prestige. Now, just because I go out and I earn a living because this program made me a responsible, productive member of society, like it said it would, if I did the appropriate things, then I'm able to get stuff, right? You know, I'm able to go out and mortgage a home, build a home. I'm able to go out and get a good job and buy a new car and spoil my granddaughter to death and do all that stuff if I want to. Now, I have that ability. But that... Narcotics Anonymous doesn't own anything. We talk about the seventh tradition where the money in the basket goes for literature and rent and all that stuff. I actually had someone say to me last week that I was violating the seventh tradition because I was talking, I was using the word rent. I'm not supposed to use the word rent. And I've been around here a few 24 hours, and I didn't know that. You know, I really felt bad for him because it was just not important, really unimportant that I was using the word rent. Anyway, so just so you know, I suffer from ADD as well. So I'm going to be all over the place while I'm up here. And if you have ADD, you'll be able to fall right along. You know, everything will be fine. If you don't have ADD, you're screwed. You know, because you go, wait a minute. So back to the sixth tradition. Property, prestige, money, whatever I just said, right? Money, property, or prestige. The reason for the basket is to pay for coffee, literature, and rent. And I'll let you know that there are two meetings in where I live, two, that actually make coffee. No one makes coffee anymore. You know, we got a Dunkin' Donuts in every corner. So, liquor store, Dunkin' Donuts. So now we're going to the Dunkin' Donuts. So we don't have to make coffee, I guess. But bottom line is, that's what we have to do with the money in the basket. And anything left goes to the region. That's the property prestige part, that we don't hang on to that money. That goes up to the area level, right? Well, in my house, anything left goes in my pocket, right? So that's my personal money, property, prestige. Has nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous. Money has nothing to do with carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. I think we get really confused about a lot of traditions. Like, why do we read who is an addict? It's not our job to decide who is an addict, is it? Why do we read why are we here? Is it our job to decide why people are here? No. So I don't believe we should be reading those things. That's just one man's opinion. That's my argument to support that someone's violating some tradition, right? Because I interpret that tradition differently than you do. You may not interpret that tradition that way. But I don't have any business telling you whether you're an addict or not, nor do I have any business telling you why you're here. You know, I came here because of the court system, not because I wanted to get clean. You know, I came here because I didn't want to go to jail, not because I wanted to get clean. I got clean in the process. And I met some wonderful people, a lot of which are in this room today. You know, so I got a lot of pressure on me, man. You know? The seven tradition is really easy to explain. We are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. That means we can't go have fundraisers in public places with public people to donate money to our cause. We can't go to the local Portuguese American Civic Club. You've probably never heard of one of those, but we have them where we live. You can't go there and have a fundraiser with public money to fund Narcotics Anonymous. You got to raise the money in the basket, or even area activities committees are not supposed to be raising money. They're supposed to provide NA members with an outlet so we can go dance here or whatever we're going to do. Their job is not to raise money. Their job is to provide activities. The group's job is not to raise money. The group's job is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. That's the responsibility of the group. So the money in the basket goes to support the group's effort to do that. It doesn't go, all right, so copies included, and you know, IP pamphlets are included, and basic textbooks are included, and rent is included, you know. Did I say rent? Uh-oh, man. Hope that doesn't get back home. Yeah, but Peter's texting. Peter, P-E-T-A. So, as I said, I'll be bouncing around a little bit here. So, the sixth tradition, you know, when they called me to do this, I was at work. And they say, hey, could you do the sixth and seventh tradition? I said, of course. Do you even know what the sixth tradition is? I'm like, I don't. What is it? You know, and I've been around here a while. Well, I was in work mode, man. I wasn't in picking up the phone from someone who wanted me to share about the sixth and seventh tradition mode and was asking me if I knew what the sixth tradition was. So I said, well, why don't you tell it to me? And I probably heard it before. So. They said it. I said, oh, yeah, I remember that one. So. But it was a pleasure, certainly a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me out here. I was coming here anyway, but why not say something while I'm up here? You know? So you'll notice if you look around this room, there's not a lot of people in here. You know why? Because the traditions don't keep people clean. The traditions keep our fellowship alive and keep our fellowship growing. They don't keep people clean. Your sponsor will never say to you, if you don't work tradition one, you're going to use. You know? And if your sponsor says that to you, you might want to move on. You know? They're never going to say to you, you know you violated tradition six today. I'm going to need you to write that down. And we'll share at Dunkin' Donuts about that next week. Traditions do not keep people clean. Traditions keep our groups alive, and they keep our groups flourishing. The wonderful thing about traditions is we all have our own opinions of them, but the wonderful thing about them is that we can't negotiate them, and they're not going to change. And Narcotics Anonymous has flourished all this time because of those traditions. The whole not negotiable thing doesn't sit well with me, though, because I like to negotiate everything. You know what I'm saying, right, Jeremy? Yeah. I like to talk about stuff. Pick a couple of words out and say, let's talk about that word sitting in our traditions. Right? So don't get it twisted. Steps are designed to keep people clean. Traditions are designed to keep Narcotics Anonymous doing what they've been doing since 1953, and we can't change that. So, what else on the tradition? How much time do I have? I got plenty of time, I'm sure of it. Anyway, I prefer to talk about tradition three, tradition seven more than tradition six, because let's face it, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I had nothing. I didn't plan to have nothing for the rest of my life. I planned to acquire a few things while I was here, and why not, right? I didn't plan to be unemployed and homeless the whole time I was here. I planned on my life getting better. At least that's what you told me. You told me my life was going to get better. All I had to do was keep coming here. My life would get better. Just keep coming to meetings. Your life will get better. Trust us. Your life will get better. And oh, by the way, sit in the front row and don't say anything to anybody. Because if we want to know how to get high, we'll come ask you. You know, if we want to know how to stay clean, just listen to the people in the front of the room. So, because Tradition 7 is more inclined to keep the group flourishing, Tradition 6 is not. You know, you could ask anybody if they knew what Tradition 6 is, and they might tell you they've heard it a few times, but I don't know if we have a definitive explanation about what Tradition 6 is between you and I. I don't think I have one, you know, other than what it says. We have these readings at the beginning of our meetings, and most of us are just oblivious to what people are reading because we've heard it so many times. Who is an addict? What is the NA program? Why are we here? How it works? The 12 traditions. By the time you get to the traditions, people are sleeping. And then, you know, you kick in with your speaker. But where I live, it's like group therapy. Everyone reads long. You know, the whole meeting is reciting phrases from the steps, and phrases from the traditions when people are reading. And I just go like this, oh, man, that drives me crazy. But because I didn't get clean that way. We kept quiet and were respectful and let people read so everybody could hear what they were saying. But it's like a big chorus up there. You know, as long as the ties that bind us together, everybody's saying it, you know? And that's fine for them, right? Same thing when we close. You know, the Just for Today and the other one. What's the other one, Bob? We Do Recover, right? So, you know, we have people singing along to those, too. So we got a big sing-along going up there. It's pretty interesting. But, again, back to what you were talking about that I did, that you did, was I thought I was going to change everything. You're in a different situation because you didn't have any meetings out there. It wasn't that way for me. I came from an area that's very structured. This is the most organized convention I go to. You know, this convention does not lack organization. These are smart people who do good things. But they weren't doing it that way up there. So I figured I had to change it. And the suit worked. You know, for a little while, I'd wear the suit and people would say, oh, that's the president right there. The president of Narcotics Anonymous right there. Don't violate any traditions while he's around. Because he's the only one that's ever heard of him. So I didn't win a lot of friends and influence a lot of people doing that. As a matter of fact, I got kind of a reputation. And people kind of stay away from people with a reputation. You know, I knew how to do it, and you didn't know how to do it. So it was a pretty self-centered act on my part to think that I could do that. But I got better with it. As a matter of fact, I got so good, after my 11th anniversary, I didn't go to another meeting for about 10 years. That was not the best idea. Now, I didn't use, but what I also didn't do is I didn't grow. I stayed stagnant. I was a miserable bastard. And I should say I didn't use yet, because I think if I had kept going down that path, I may have used. But I'll tell you a funny story that happened to me in that whole process. In 2007, now my wife and I have been together for I got to get this right, man. In case she hears the tape, for like 17 years, right? I've had one relationship in NA. One. Yeah, I got in it 7 years into recovery, and I'm still in it today. My sponsor said, don't get into a relationship for your first year. And after my first year, I got here, I was so excited that I thought I could get it. I mean, that's all I thought about. All right, well, I got to wait a year. So, all right, the year's here. Can I get into the relationship now? No, you're on the 2-year plan. I ended up being on the 7-year plan, right? No relationships for 7 years. Not because I was sick, and I don't like it when people call themselves sick, just because I wasn't ready. You know, I was trying to force something that wasn't going to happen. So in 2007, I was diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. So I said to my now wife, who I lived in sin with for many years, I liked sin. I said, we better get married, because I have some stuff. And I don't want my family trying to get my stuff. I'd rather have you have it. And then you can give it to my kids and do all that stuff. So I said, let's get married. So we had a nice wedding in the backyard. We got married. And then I was diagnosed with no cancer anymore. Big joke, you know. So now I'm married. And I don't have cancer. So what gives? Ha, ha, ha. Well, I'm here to tell you that I have cancer again. So, or I have some cancer. I don't know, just a little. You know, if there's such a thing as being having a little cancer, I have a little bit. You know, if you can be a little pregnant, you know, that's how it works. I spent a lot of years while I was going through that 10-year period of wondering what the people in NA were doing because I wasn't there. And, you know, you should know that I stayed in contact with people who were in recovery. I didn't socialize with dysfunctional morons other than my family. That's my pet name for them. I have seven brothers and sisters, and they could all use Narcotics Anonymous. My mother could use Narcotics Anonymous. It's a family disease, you know, and my whole family has it. So, I stayed in touch with people, but I wasn't getting that human interaction that you get when you go to meetings. You know, when people talk to you about situations they've gone through in their recovery and how they've come through it. I didn't have that. So the only one I had to rely on was my wife, who's a psych nurse. And she could psychoanalyze me on a daily basis and tell me what was wrong with me. But that wasn't working. So I stopped off at a convention fundraiser one day, a couple of years ago, and I started to run into people that I didn't stay in contact with by phone, but I knew that they were still going to meetings. Let me tell you that. In this room here today, or in this convention, I have run into people that I got clean with who are still clean today. Many are in their 20th year or their 19th year or their 21st year, their 24th year. That stuff is unheard of where I live. We have people who have 9 years clean, and that is considered to be a, what do you call those people, a predecessor. That 9 years... we think people are predecessors. What does that make me? I must be, I'm a dinosaur. Or you know what I am? I'm a fossil. Right?
A dinosaur.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. So, there's still, to this day, a very new and exciting thing that goes on in Massachusetts, and it's NA. It's still very young. What happens where I live is people who get this amount of clean time just don't go to meetings anymore. They don't want to hang out in church basements or meeting halls. But what I see here when I come back here is I see all of these people with all this time, and I am immediately put at ease. Because where I live, every meeting I go to, I have more time than anybody. And that's quite a burden to carry, trust me. When you know, I got feelings and emotions and situations in my life too, but I'm not supposed to act like that. You know, people look up to you and say, "Oh, that guy's got all this clean time. He doesn't have any problems in life." Although that may be true, I try not to let on. So, stage 3 lung cancer is kind of a problem, you know. So when you're out there smoking a cigarette, think of me, Fabio. So, Tradition 7 is clearly more important than Tradition 6 because people who read the traditions, I mean, someone said the NAPD, right? There is the NA Police Department out there. And when, yeah, right here, Peter, right here. And when you violate a tradition, man, they're going to let you know. Hey, you're violating a tradition. Just ask them which one. And they'll go, "Well, I'm not sure, but I know you're violating one of them. I can tell by your behavior." Well, I'm sure I've violated most of them. I'm sure we've all violated most of them. I try very hard to practice the 12th tradition with perfection and place principles before personalities. But guess what? This is going to be the shock of your life. We are human. Human beings judge other human beings. It's what we do. It's what you will always do. You will never stop judging other people. So stop trying. You know, when I hear people say, "Don't judge me," what do you want me to do? It's my job to judge you. You're a human, I'm a human. We judge each other. It's what we do. But I try not to judge people's motives. I may judge their behavior, but I try not to judge their motives, and their motives are usually in the right place. at least around here, when you get out there with the real people in the real world. Because unlike a lot of addicts, I don't tell the real world that I'm a drug addict. I live in the corporate environment, and if they knew that I was a drug addict, they probably wouldn't like me very much. They may ask me to leave, actually. And they entrust me with millions of dollars and all that other stuff. So it could be a problem if they find out that, you know, I'm an addict. So you guys hear me? My anonymity is sacred. So anyway, back to the seven tradition. Every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting. That includes rent, right? We've cleared that up already, right? The whole rent thing. I'm not invited. Oh, I can't say rent. All right, donations. This is kind of a dry morning for me. I'm glad I had my coffee. I took all of my 50-year-old pills to keep everything in the right place this morning. You know, because when you get older, man, you know, you got to take drugs. Non-mind mood. You know what I'm talking about, Bob. Yeah, I got a whole pill planner, you know, for every day of the week. If I want to live any longer, I got to take all those pills. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to celebrating my anniversary tomorrow. I celebrated it here last year. Bill was terrific. We went over to Bill's property here in Ocean City and had a little party. I thought that was terrific. I said party. That's right. So the best thing you might get out of this meeting is my accent. You know, if you learn anything here today, other than we don't pronounce our R's in Boston, good for you. Yeah. I'm sure you'll be going around me and saying, that guy, did he say car? Was he talking about the parking lot? You know, yeah. I'm here to save you, Peter. Because I know what Peter's been going through down here with his accent. And it ain't right. You people don't talk right. You people need to learn how to talk. Right? New England. You get it? New England. Anyway, how much time do I have? I'll keep asking you that, man. Oh. Damn it. Yeah, man. So if you missed it, you all got to get your coffee. Because that's what we do with addicts. We take them off the street and take them off drugs and addict them to caffeine. Right. Now you're addicted to caffeine. It's not mind or mood altering. Oh, really? I'm not sure why Stevie was swinging from a chandelier last night, but I think it might have had something to do with all the coffee he drank. You know? Last year I was coming to this convention, and every one of these guys you see over here stiffed me. Right? Yeah, raise your hand, boys. I was stuck with the hotel bill, convention money. I was stuck with it all. Hey, here's the insanity, though. I asked them to go again. Like a good addict. I said, maybe you want to go this year? So, we've had a lot of fun since we've been here. I've already run into many people that I know here, and this is probably the most wonderful place I go every year, is the CPRCNA convention. Coming down through Delaware is a great drive. The Jersey Turnpike was pretty bad yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's talk about the traditions. As we know, that traditions are designed to keep people clean. We've already crossed that path, right? The traditions do not keep people clean. So when you leave here today, and your sponsor says to you, we need to write the traditions. You don't have to write the traditions. And if he questions or she questions, you give them my phone number. And I'll speak to them and let them know that the traditions will not keep me clean. You know, one thing the traditions do is take money out of my pocket. Right? Because when I'm kicking in that money, because I feel like I got to put $2 in the basket every meeting I go to. It's just me. But you might want to think about that. Put $2 in the basket. If you don't have $2, put everything you got. Because all we need is literature, and all we need is halls to keep our meetings going. Rooms, whatever we're calling them in the NA now. I try to stick to the NA language of recovery, although I haven't used the F word yet. You know, and I think that's part of the NA language of recovery, right? It's not? So anyway, I now know that I'm going to be going to the Virgin Islands. To a meeting. So So I was actually booked to St. Croix one time in my life, but 9/11 happened and I didn't get to go. So now I'll go. I'll go to the Virgin Islands and I'll have to get the address for that meeting. And of course, my wife will say, "Why are you going to a meeting? We're in the Virgin Islands." Because my wife calls herself an N.A. widow now. I mean, and my wife is not an addict, and I probably wouldn't marry one. And that's just me. I don't know. I'm alpha. Another person in the house being alpha, that could be a problem. But she's not an addict. So she always talks about how she's an N.A. widow every time I walk out the door to go to an N.A. event or meeting. And I've gone to a lot more in the last year or two than I have over the last 10. So with that said, we're going to the Virgin Islands, man. You know, we're going to go out there, and I've been to some places out there. I've been to Puerto Rico. I didn't look up any meetings while I was there, though. You know, I had a hard enough time ducking the high-tension wires that touched the road, you know. So I decided not to drive on the streets for very long. But it was a beautiful place, and I'm looking forward to it. So when I go home and tell her, "Oh, we're going to the Virgin Islands," she might like that. But this week I'll spend the week in Virginia. I'm going to go to Williamsburg, Virginia. I guess that's Southern Virginia, right? Yeah, I'm going to meet my granddaughter down there and spend the week with her. So these are the things that Narcotics Anonymous have given me. I'm a responsible, productive member of society, and I have a granddaughter. And I have another grandbaby on the way in September. So for all of my friends here that got clean, they knew my children when my children were about this big. Well, those children are all grown. They all have jobs. They all have careers. Some of them are married with children. And it's pretty scary, man. It's pretty scary where the time goes. It just flies. So I say to young people in here, and there aren't many young people in here, because guess what I said earlier? Young people, newcomers are not coming in here to find out about Tradition 6 and 7. They're probably reading the traditions going, "What the hell does that mean?" You know? It's us guys with time, you know. We're the guys who are the experts on the traditions. "Oh, yeah, I know the tradition." They said to me, "Do you have a working knowledge of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions?" Yeah. What the hell is a working knowledge of the 12 and 12? I guess I have one. I've read them many times. The steps I've worked before, but I don't know what a working knowledge is. I guess if I'm actively participating in what a tradition is, if you can actually participate in what a tradition is, I guess then I have a working knowledge. So I was looking forward to coming here. As soon as I got up here, I was no longer looking forward to coming here. I used to be able to ramble on for a long time, but I've gotten worse. So I can't ramble on so much anymore. There's too many people in here that know whether I'm lying or not. I know I got to tell the truth. God shakes the truth out of me. And I enjoy being here. I enjoy the traditions. Because when you're in service work, that's when you deal with the traditions. And if you're not in service work, shame on you. You should be. Because somebody's got to keep this fellowship running. And don't forget, the world has turned Narcotics Anonymous over to people who could not manage their own lives for a very long time. And now they're managing everybody's life in the fellowship as far as their traditions go. So I encourage you that if you're not in service work, you get in service work. If you are in service work, thank you for your service. I'm a secretary of a group, so yeah, I'm in service work. But I've been on all levels of service, and I think I've graduated now. I don't think I need to be at the area level. I know about the fist sites and all that other stuff. But you know, when you put 25 people who have alpha personalities in the same room and you try to get them to agree on something, it's not going to happen. What we need is people who just sit down and we'll tell you what you should be doing and let that be. You know, when we tell you that you should put money in the basket, then just do it. When we tell you what Tradition 7 means and what Tradition 6 means, just do it. Don't ask any questions. But we don't have those kind of people. We have a lot of personalities in the fellowship, and they're all trying to mesh together and to come to one decision. We can't even do that in a government who handles billions and billions of our dollars, right? But they make laws every day. We don't make traditions every day. Traditions were made one time, and they'll stay that way for eternity. whatever your eternity is. So listen, thank you for letting me come out here and talk to you about the traditions. I hope you learned something other than we do say Pakikan Havidyad, although nobody really says that, you know. People always say, "Go, can you say Pakikan Havidyad?" You know, I don't live anywhere near Havidyad. I would never park my car there, you know. I'm like 2 hours from Havidyad, you know. So leave the Massachusetts people alone. They really don't say stuff like that. You know, we really don't talk about that stuff up there. Nobody gives a shit about Harvard Yard, you know.
Swear, then I need you to write about that.
Sorry about that, Jeremy. I'm going to have to write about that swear. One swear in the whole time. Come on, man. Thank you. Listen, thanks again. I hope everyone enjoys the convention. I know that I'm already enjoying it. I'm in love with all these people. I met them years ago getting clean. There's many more of them out there in the halls staying clean, and it just, I just get very emotional when I come down here and spend 2 days with them. So, but thank you, everybody.